തസ്മൈ ശ്രീ ഗുരവേ നമഃ. ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ. ഞാനെ സ്റ്റാർട്ട് ക്വസ്റ്റ്യൻസ് വരെ വന്നപ്പോൾ വെരി കറേജസ്ലി വിതൗട്ട് ലോജിംഗ് സ്റ്റാമ്പ് ആൻഡ് ദ ക്വസ്റ്റ്യൻസ് ആർ ക്വൈറ്റ് ടഫ് ടുഡേ. ഹി വെരി ബ്യൂട്ടിഫുൾ ഇൻട്രൊഡ്യൂസ് ദ ടോപ്പിക് ടു ഓൾ ഓഫ് അസ് ബൈ ക്രിയേറ്റിംഗ് ഇൻട്രസ്റ്റ് ആൻഡ് ഓഡിയൻസ്. And he covered various things in the lecture, many wonderful varieties of examples to make us understand. Some other things which were left unanswered, we will try to see maybe one of the points. There is one pressing question that I could see here all around about finding out the bona fide authority. It is not such a difficult thing to find out a bona fide authority as people commonly think. From the way the audience was expressing today, many may get bewildered, thinking that probably it's very difficult to get a bona fide authority in this world. It's not at all difficult to locate one. Because when you go to a diamond shop to buy a diamond, you just jump up and take one diamond. The minute you pay out the money, you don't do that. You know, diamond is very costly. So when you go to a diamond shop, you see the first, second, third, fourth varieties of diamonds. Not only that, you ask people, which is a dirt shop here. If some shop has been there for the past 40 years, and a very reputed shop, then you will go to that particular shop. If somebody has just opened the shop yesterday, he may give you a glass case. So you want to know the authenticity of the shop. Okay, authenticity is confirmed. But still, you want to know from your friends and other businessmen whether we can buy diamond here or which type of diamond you should buy. Isn't it? You want their assistance. You take the assistance of someone who has some knowledge about diamond. Isn't it? You take the assistance also. Not only that, even after that, when you buy the diamond, you take some warranty for that. At least 1 year warranty or 2 year warranty. In order to ensure that you are not cheated, in case there is any problem, you can always come back to the shop. Isn't it? So when you buy diamond, we take so many precautionary measures to buy the piece of diamond. But when it comes to the question of spiritual knowledge, unfortunately, many people say they have heard some stories from their grandmother. And now they have deemed that such stories are mythological. That is like their conclusion. See the plight. Is it the way to hear spiritual knowledge? And some people gave their authority on some cinemas which they saw in their childhood, some Sampurna Ramayana or Mahabharata. Which they saw, and they have some faint understanding of what is Mahabharata or what is Ramayana. How they know some Puranic stories in which they don't have any faith. And they keep on arguing whenever the question of religion comes to their surface in their life. They argue, I heard from this Purana, I think that is mythological, I heard from that movie. So their basis is unfortunately some movies or their old grandmother who told them some stories. Just consider this point seriously. If you are going to accept philosophical knowledge like that, then the standard of the Vedas, which carry the greatest of all the sciences, that is watered down. Not only that, many pretenders will take advantage of male followers. They will cheat. And that is the reason why today you find everywhere there are so many cheaters and speculators wandering around in the name of religion, in the garb of religion, cheating the entire world. So Prabhupada often used to say, if you want to be cheated, you will certainly be cheated now. You wonder, who is that who will want to be cheated? Is there anyone here who wants to be cheated? You may superficially say with your mouth, no. But there may be some who want to be cheated. How do you know you want to be cheated or you don't want to be cheated? That is also easy to understand. The Paramatma, the Super Soul, is so kind. He directs you to that guru are the so-called guru inward expectations. To such a person, how will fulfill your demands? Sometimes people think guru is meant for curing my disease. Many people ask me, even in the train, sometimes people ask, do you have any basma or something? Some ashes which I can put for my child and cure his disease. So some people think guru is meant for that. And some people think guru is one to whom you can approach whenever you have some problem in life. He'll give you gold, he'll give you wealth, or he'll give you some ashirvad whenever you want. So you can approach him. This is the purpose of guru. And when you have no difficulty, you don't have to go to guru at all. Many people think like that. So these are the people who want to be cheated. And there are others who want to make an ostentatious demonstration of religion. And make sure they don't actually want to approach God. Nor are they interested to surrender to God and love God. They simply want to make a display of their greatness. In the name of religion, they are doing some annadana. They put a towel and walk around saying that I am a very great personality. I have done this annadana to everyone. So they claim to be religious. You see, these are a few options that I am giving you. If you want to worship God like this, He will give you facilities certainly. He is not going to deny that. He will take you to such a guru. And there are many gurus who tell you that you can go on with what you are doing now. You want to smoke, you want to drink liquor, you want to be with many women, you can do whatever you want. You see, there has to be a little time for God. Once in a year, you come to me, pay some donation. Just bow down before God and I will give you ashirvad. You do whatever you want. There are gurus like that. And if you think, wonderful, why should I perform tapasya or austerities? This is a wonderful thing. Once in a year, I just go to this Babaji or whatever with all my family and then take ashirvad from him and come. And at all other times, I can keep his photo in my house. And I can show everyone coming to my house. This is my guru. I can show his photograph. So Srila Prabhupada used to always say, don't make your guru like a dog. A dog means, a dog is at your beck and call, isn't it? Anytime you want the dog to get your newspaper, you just nod your hand. So immediately bring the newspaper. Similarly, there are many rich people who treat their guru like that. Now they come to know, oh, my uncle is coming from London, and my other relative is coming from Australia, and now there is a very special occasion at home, so we are going to have some 10, 12 people. So then they found the guru. Mother guru, please come. I want to show others that you are my guru. So there is my phone call. The one guru comes to me. The big deal is your blessing. He says, I am their guru. And all of them will give them donation. She'll take it and go away. So if you want to show a display of your religious fervor, you can do that if you want. So these are the people who want to be cheated. If you want to be cheated like that, then you'll get such a guru. On the other hand, one who is looking for the real benefit spiritual master, the Paramatma, or the Super Soul, is always saying with him, he will not accept anybody to be a guru very easily. Today, it is so easy to understand who is a fake, who is genuine. Because people are so grossly failing from the principles of religion. Some big so-called guru is giving diksha to 10,000 people or 5,000 people, but he himself doesn't follow the basic principles of not eating meat, not taking intoxication, not mixing with women. They are not even following these principles. So easy to brush aside such fake garment. It is not at all difficult. But amongst those who appear to be very carefully following the principles, you can still get cheated. And there are gurus who recite so many mantras, and by hearing them you feel he is a very learned person. He appears to be knowing so much scriptures. Probably he is my guru. Then the shastras give a clear indication. Don't get cheated. Shatkarmani Panavitro, Mantra Tantra Vida Vishadana, Avaishnava Guru Masa, Vaishnava Shatacha Guru. It says, even if one is a very great expert, Shatkarmani Panavitro, if he is a Vitra, he can recite the Vedic mantras very nicely, he can quote from various scriptures, and he can charm your heart by his knowledge of the scriptures. Such a scholarly attitude is not at all a requisite for a guru. So Avaishnava Guru Nasya. If one is not a Vaishnava, one is not a devotee, he cannot be called as a guru. Very clearly the Shastra said that. There is no doubt about that. So if you are attracted to mundane scholarship, then you may go after such a person. And you can also learn a lot of Vedic mantras, you can also chant. But if you see, in the Department of Humanities and Social Sciences, there are many great scholars. In America, there is one such scholar who has done his doctorate in Jiva Goswami. Jiva Goswami has written Jiva Sundarbha. He has written extensively on Lord Krishna. And this person knows in and out and has conducted research and about Krishna from his birth up to when the Lord ascended his abode. He knows everything of Krishna's life. And he doesn't have even a drop of faith in Krishna. What is the use of all this knowledge? Tell me. After learning so much, you can ask him any, if you tell the shloka number, he can tell you the shloka. But what is the use of such knowledge? This is mere academic scholarship. So Shastras don't recommend this at all. Even if one is a very good scholar, there is no qualification at all. On the other hand, if one is a devotee, although he may not have academic scholarship, he is considered a real guru. So Prabhupada once was making an argument with his own disciples, putting them in the position of the fathers of other religions, different religions. Sometimes Prabhupada would do that. He would take one of his disciples and say, now you become a scientist, and I will argue on behalf of the Vedas. So he would argue with them. One time he was arguing with his disciples like that. So the disciples were saying, okay, let us assume the role of Christians. And you assume the role of a Krishna conscious person. So the argument went on. So they were saying, we are also following, we are also going to church. So you are also going to church. What is the difference between other religions? They were arguing like that. The Prabhupada said, no, there is no argument at all. And they went further. There are many different points they were saying. Like, you know, we are also worshipping God, we are also following different principles given in the scripture and all of that. But finally, in the argument came, nobody could understand what Prabhupada was looking for. But Prabhupada said, the love for God is not emphasized in many of the religions worldwide. There are so many gurus, but hardly anyone talks about love for God. Some gurus talking about Hindutva. Hindus are really important. Killers. And everyone said, ah, that's a big laugh at. Their Hindutva is frozen in their heart. The third is, everyone is, what is a Hindu? Many of them. Actually, this is a big craze in society today. When they hear Rama Janma Bhumi or such issues, immediately the blood is boiling. So come on, attack, kill. But they don't even know what is religion. What is their own religion, they do not know. It is simply a fanaticism, that's all. They are not following any religion. They claim to be Hindus, but the word Hindu is not at all there in the Vedas. But they are arguing for Hinduism. See the plight. There is no such word as Hindu in any of the Vedic texts. The word Hindu was introduced by Afghanist people, who called the Aryans as Sindhus, because they lived on the banks of the river Sindhu. And later on it became Hindu. And these people are arguing for Hindutva like that. So there are some gurus who are arguing for Hindutva, but there are others who are telling that you should give your life for your father and mother. There is no greater goal of life. I agree with you, certainly one should serve the father and mother. But there is one platform of Dharma. There are many other superior platforms of Dharma beyond them. Somebody is arguing for patriotism, some guru. And there are Swamis from India who are arguing for, who are teaching about patriotism, and they are most welcome to that people. Because you have to work for the state. But today, you are a patriot of India, tomorrow you may die and you will be born in Pakistan. up in the defense, the real platform of religion is that religion is a supreme religion. Which teaches you pure love for God. Then Prabhupada told his disciples that how to know a guru. If a person is really a guru, he has to be constantly 24 hours absorbed in love of God. He should speak about God, he should think about God, he should be working for God. And you see his life, his body, his mind, his words, his everything, his whole existence is centered around God. That is a real guru. So, nobody can cheat. Can a guru cheat you? And I love God very much. Only when you come, I will show you my manifestation of love of God. And when you are away, I will do my nonsense. You can very easily locate the cheater. It is not difficult. This is the platform of finding out a guru. A true guru is one who has given his whole existence for God. You must have seen sannyasis holding a tridanda, the danda stick which they hold. Inside that cloth bag, there are three sticks. The three sticks represent body, mind, and words. So the body, karmana, vacha, manasa. Even in Maharashtra, they chant this kalyana vacha, manasendriya, buddhyatma. You know this prayer? You heard this? So all this information for Narayanayati, Sarapayami. So this is how a guru surrenders his body, his mind, his works, and his whole existence for the Lord's service. Now there are so many gurus, you see their lifestyle, how many of them are giving their body, life, their words, their mind, everything in Lord's service. It is very easy to assess. So love of God is a platform of understanding a guru, a spiritual master. Not academic scholarship, not the amount of penance he performs, not how great a Mauni Baba he is. Some people say, he is such a great guru that he never speaks. You just go to him, he'll give a smile, whether you say that. And then you'll see that and you'll say, he's such a great guru like that. People respect him. Why he doesn't speak? Because you'll come to know what a great fool he is. So, easily you can come to know. It's that a fool is revealed as soon as he speaks, isn't it? So people don't want to speak, people keep quiet, that's all. And they'll be making millions by keeping quiet. In fact, a true guru is one who should be incessantly speaking about Krishna. He is a true guru. In fact, he has realized the Krishna, he is loving Krishna, and in that loving bliss, he is not able to keep himself quiet. He wants to give the same for the others benefit. And the Prahlad Maharaj says, real Vaishnava guru is not the one who goes away to Himalayas. He says, real Vaishnava is one who is compassionate for the other creatures who are suffering in the world. So Srila Prabhupada, he would have been in Vrindavan enjoying, simply chanting Hare Krishna mantra, he would have spent his entire life. But he wanted to go out to a dirty place like America and give the knowledge for the benefit of others. This is real merciful guru. So, it is certainly not a very difficult thing to find out the guru. I myself in my spiritual life, I have seen so many people, right from my childhood, right from my school days. I've gone to so many gurus. At different points, I put a break. This person is cheating. Very easily can come to know. If you just stay, of course, each day we have to go to different organizations. I agree with all of you that it's certainly a very difficult thing to evaluate every organization because it may take several years in your life. It may follow. But if you know the basic standards, it's very easy. First, you confirm your own heart, what are you looking for? You ask yourself. If you are looking for Indra, there are 100 people to give you. You can go there. Somebody was asking why everyone, the whole world is not becoming a follower of this kind. So there are so many different religions. How many people get distinction? A tiny fraction in a class. So, Prabhupada never compromised in the true principles of religion when he went to America also. So, if Americans are following no meat eating, no gambling, no intoxication, no illicit sex, why can't we follow? But then Indians follow. Prabhupada never ever compromised. In fact, when Sri Prabhupada found out this con, somebody was giving him a suggestion. Then why don't you, Swamiji, call the movement as International Society for God Consciousness? That is, you know, a very secular term. And you'll get many, many thousands of followers. Prabhupada said, when I know God is Krishna, why should we call God Consciousness? Why should we call such a vague name? Who would like to be called by a vague name? Isn't it? If you call any of you as a works manager, will you like your mother to call you as a works manager? That's not. like to be called by the resignation's name. Then as soon as you come home, you want to be called by your personal name. If your mother or father addresses you, want to be called by your personal name. Similarly, devotee should call the Lord by his personal name. So Prabhupada said, in translation of Krishna consciousness. You know, compromised. Many people, even those who are very much claiming to be followers of religion, they don't have faith in their own religion, many people. They have a superficial understanding of God and religion, and in fact they are very afraid that somebody will ridicule me, somebody will mock at me, somebody may open my love, I don't know, how can I open up? So many religious people, even non-Christians, they aren't bold enough to come forward and tell others, come on, come to our classes, hear Bhagavad Gita. See what Lord says. They don't have the courage to say. Why? Why do they not have the courage to say? They themselves have not yet developed sufficient faith. If you have faith in something, then why should you keep quiet? You can boldly tell others. But even today, you go and see your college mates, classmates, many of them. Even though some of them who are religious, they will go home and perform some religious rituals and come back. But they will never have the boldness to say, I am a religious person. Even the so-called pious people of the modern times are cheaters. They are cheating themselves. But a true devotee of God, a true guru, he will never be afraid of disclosing the truth given by God in the scriptures for the benefit of everyone. Similarly, ideal follower of such a guru can also get the same conviction determination. He can also become an ideal follower and he can also give the knowledge to others. So love of God is the real platform of assessing a guru. So you see, go and see gurus. How many gurus? Our ISKCON doors are open everywhere. You can come and see ISKCON. Center is open. You see the lifestyle of devotees. They wake up in the morning. They wake up at 3:30, 4 o'clock. They chant, Shishira Bhakanjwa Bhagavan ki, Rajachinda Bhagavan ki, Shriya Prabhupada ki. They chant in the morning, they share Srimad Bhagavatam class, they come together, they have Brahmachari class in the daytime, and evening they go to different parts of Pune and they preach. So you come and see the lifestyle of people, not just one day or 2 days. Not just 1 or 2 days, not just 1 month or 2 months. This is the life, this is the life of devotees. You can come to temple, you can stay for a week, stay for a month, see for yourself. That is the life of devotees. But on the other hand, there are so many gurus. Like one guru from India, he went to America. He was giving a lecture like this. And after about 40 minutes, he said 5 minutes break. And one of our ISKCON, very leading sannyasis, he had gone there to meet this person. And he asked him, why he gave break after 40 minutes like this? He would have gone on and on. He said, I have a little problem. You come to me, I'll tell you. He went behind the stage. And he had to take this. What do you call that? They take the notes. Snuff. He had to take some snuff. And our ISKCON representative was shocked to see that. You take snuff. You are not giving it up. He said, I thought maybe others can also take snuff and come. I gave 5 minutes break for them. So our ISKCON representative told him, you are preaching the sublime principles of religion. How can you take snuff? Stephen said, no, you know, I had many other bad things in my life. I used to do meat eating, I used to do gambling, I used to be after women, everything. After 20 years of my practice, I gradually resisted them. Still those temptations come to my mind. That is enough, I could not give up. It is still holding on to me. That man was holding. But that man, seeing the ISKCON representative, he was stunned. He said, you people in ISKCON, you are born in America, and you are born in a big reservoir of sins. Because right from day one, a child gets to see all kind of atrocities going on in America. You can see how people shoot each other, people take meat, people drink, people do all kinds of nonsensical activities. And you live your life like that. And after 20-25 years of living such a horrible life, your mind is filled with a stool. Still, after the Chila Popa, we have immediately given up all those habits. Right away. When Chila Popa preached in America and made disciples, many of them even cheered up. And they became fully dedicated Vaishnava devotees. So this man was explaining to this ISKCON representative, how is it possible for you people that you have completely given up everything? said, "No, man. And I've been struggling for the past 20 years. I'm not able to give up." So this man said, "This is a meaning of real process. If you get the real the process works very quick. One can immediately give up all the unwanted things of the world very easily. And one can tread on the right path, the royal road back to the kingdom of God. So one should look for these things first of all. One should sincerely want to cross over this material existence. This is the meaning of a sincere desire. You don't have to wait for lifetimes. In this very life, you can get a right guru. But what are you looking for is of paramount importance. Many a times you are looking for cheap things of this material world. The cheap things of this world are like broken glass pieces. You are looking for a beautiful house, are looking for a beautiful woman, or you are looking for a good career, or you are looking for curing your ailment which cannot be cured by doctors. So you don't need a guru for all this. You don't need a guru at all for all these things. Guru is meant for a different purpose. So guru is one who delivers you from this world. This material world is like a bridge. So one should use the bridge for crossing over this material world. So how are you looking for getting out of this material world? Krishna Satisanya Bhagavad Gita, Bukhalaya Mashashvatam. This world is a temporary place. And no matter how much you endeavor, you are going to face repeated frustration in this world. So if you are looking for getting out of this world, then the Paramatma's duty is to guide you to the right kind of guru. So suppose if such an intimate sadhguru, if a friend, such an intimate friend, that is waiting for the moment when you will desire to take shelter of a bona fide guru, you have to just express your desire. Just like the fragrance of a flower can be smelled from a long distance, as if there is a jasmine flower kept in this room. The entire room is pervaded by the smell of that flower. Similarly, you have to just express your desire in your heart. Then the Paramatma will immediately take you to the right kind of guru. It is his duty to do the same. He not only takes you to guru, he introduces you to devotees, he introduces you to guru, he introduces you to the deities, he gives you the shastras named Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Aravatam. He puts you in such a wonderful network of atmosphere where you can take leaps and bounds in spiritual life, and in this very life you can go back to the kingdom of God. This is the beauty of Paramatma. Like when I used to pray, I was a big worshipper of Shiva for several years. Generally, many of us follow whatever family tradition dictates us. I was coming from a Shaivite family. So I was following of Shiva. Practically for 10, 15 years I was chanting Shiva's name. But every morning when I would wake up and I would be reciting these prayers, I would be reciting that I am seeing so many of my friends simply running after the worldly pleasures. So what Shiva's temple, I would go with them. They'd be praying for so many petty things of the world. So I would pray, please give me what is best for me. This is the best prayer to do. Please give me what is the best gift for me. Whatever will do the real benefit for me. Because what is real benefit for us, we do not know. Because we are like children. Like a child. The father is holding the child in his hand and taking him to market. Child is demanding so many things. Please give me that chocolate. And the father is looking at the chocolate, it is surrounded by so many bees, so many flies. And father knows it is very harmful for my son, it's not good for him to buy. Father says, no, it's not good for you, don't ask it. Child becomes so angry, he starts pounding on the chest. What is this? He starts giving to the father. Why are you not giving me? He starts crying and waving his hands and legs. No matter how much he cries, father doesn't buy it for him. Isn't it? And the father may give something very healthy, that's good for him. So, as conditioned souls, we do not know what is beneficial for us. So how should we pray? Oh Lord, please do whatever is beneficial to me, not whatever is pleasurable to me. All that is pleasurable is not beneficial. There are so many things pleasurable in the world, but they are not beneficial. So we should pray to the Lord, give me what is best for me. And what did Lord Shiva give? Shiva directed me to the right spiritual master. So even the demigods, if you pray to them, even if you are a worshipper of Ganapati, or Shiva, or you are a worshipper of Dattatreya, or anybody for that matter, you pray to them, give me what is best for me. And they know what is best for you is to become a devotee of the Lord. Then they will bring you to the right shelter. So finding a guru is not at all difficult. All you need is sincerity. Just like the fragrance of the flower can be smelled from a distance, Paramatma or the Super Soul, he knows your desire before you can know it yourself. That is his greatness. You may not even never know that I have a desire. The Paramatma knows it. And he will immediately fulfill it. Rukmini was a very great devotee of Krishna. But how did she become a great devotee? She had been hearing from the Brahmanas, Narada Muni and many others, sages who would visit the court. And she has heard the glories of Krishna to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And she has been hearing time to time, and she has been developed in love. And at one time, and Rukmini was supposed to be married to Shishupal. So she didn't want to get married. She felt herself like a poor deer who is going to be caught in the trap of a jackal or a lion. She didn't want to get married. So she wrote a letter to the Lord. So in the letter she said, "My Lord, I am ready to lay down my life hundreds of times if that is what is required for achieving your lotus feet." She wrote him. So this prayer is one of the most wonderful prayers. Yasyamripankajavajasnapanam mahanto panchantyupavatirivatmatamopahatyai yavhyambujakshanalabheyabhavatpasavam yasyamasamputakashanchatajanmabhissyat. She prayed, "My dear Lord, your lotus feet is so glorious that even great personalities like Lord Shiva, in order to eradicate the ignorance in their heart, they are applying your dust on their head. So I also want to achieve your shelter." And she said, "In order to achieve your shelter, what do you want me to do? You want me to die 100 times? I am ready for that. I will die 100 times and I will be reborn, and then I can achieve your mercy. But without achieving your mercy, I cannot be oppressed." She wrote this poem. In the same way, you should seek out for the truth. That is number one. Number two, you should be ready to do anything and everything for the sake of the truth. Then you can achieve the truth. And many times, we don't seek out for the truth. We seek out for the covering that is upon the truth. We want something that will satisfy our mind and senses. And secondly, even if the truth is readily available in front of us, we are not ready to put in the necessary endeavor for achieving the truth. That's our problem. So such a person can be wandering in this world here and there, running like a foolish animal in a desert for water. You can never get water in a desert. So real water is available elsewhere. So you change the attitude that you have inside your heart. Ask yourself, "Am I sincerely seeking the truth?" Then the Lord will direct you. Suddenly, all of you have expressed some kind of sincerity, because of which now Lord has given this organization in front of you, ISKCON. It's all right in front of you. So how much have we sincerely endeavored on the path as prescribed by Srila Prabhupada? How much have we endeavored? So we have to ask this question to ourselves. Have we chanted sincerely? Have we read Srila Prabhupada books thoroughly? Have we associated with devotees sufficiently? So now you are in organization now, and you have learned so many things. You apply it and see for yourself. And as I told you, the doors are open. You can check for yourself. You have all rights to inspect the person from which you are learning. You can inspect his integrity. You inspect for yourself and see, he is preaching all these things to me, whether he is himself following. You can check that. If you begin checking like that, so many of the so-called bogus gurus can be easily thrown out of your mind very easily. Many times you have sentimental affection for somebody, often traditional guru we accept. But if you want to really find out a guru, you go up and check for yourself. These are the different standards, parameters. I think there was another very pronounced question about the senses, about hearing. So the senses are imperfect, how can we hear from authority? How can our hearing from authority be perfect? Somebody was asking about. Okay. If you take anything in your life, like if I ask you, how did you know about the job availability in Saudi Arabia? Or how did you know about the polar bears living in Antarctica? How did you know about the engineering field to be one of the best fields to study? Or how did you come to know of your uncle living in London? If you ask all these questions, ultimately, you have repeatedly said, "By hearing, by hearing, by hearing, by hearing." By no other way here. And if you take the books, they are recorded sound vibration. They are also hearing. There is no difference. If you see books, they are also the same sound vibration, which is to burn and record. There is nothing in this world which can give you knowledge without hearing in any field. And so, knowledge always is occurred by hearing. There is no second way. Scientists actually foolishly propose the empirical evaluation in order to gain knowledge. That empirical evaluation is secondary. Even the knowledge of empiricism actually comes from hearing only. Even if you see like that. For example, if I show you a glass containing some liquid, it's of a green color liquid. You don't know exactly what it is. I am just giving you. So now, how will you ascertain what is the contents of this glass? What is the way? Maybe you can conduct some chemical tests. That chemical test might fail. Or maybe you don't have the proper reagents to evaluate the chemical that is there in the glass. Or it may be a combination of more than one chemical. Isn't it? Or you may use this for conducting various tests to ascertain what the chemical is. And then after you wasted all the contents of the glass, you may realize that this contains the most valuable medicine for curing cancer disease. So you wasted all of those chemicals, which is very badly out of the entire world. So you see, you may never come to know what is the contents of the glass. But the easiest way is to ask a man, please tell me, you gave me something, what it is. Very simple. He will tell you, oh, that was some grape juice or some lemon juice or something. He tells you, and then it's finished, then you can drink it after knowing from him. So, in the same way, knowledge comes by hearing only. There is no other second way. And as far as the imperfection is concerned, if one goes on hearing, the attentive hearing will automatically come. Like somebody was telling, I feel asleep in my lecture, what can I do? Do not worry, continue hearing. Just like in the morning, sometimes you see your mother waking up. You say that I have to go to school, I have to go to college at 8 o'clock. Mother, please wake me up at 7:30. So 7:30 she wakes you up. Mother, please wake up. And you don't wake up. I mean, after 5 minutes she comes, now it's 7:35. So you're not waking up, get up, go to school. Still you don't wake up. It's 7:45. She starts shouting and yelling at you. Come on, if you don't wake up, then you'll miss the bus. She shouts at you. And then you start turning around and say, who is this causing me some disturbance? Turn around and say, and then you sleep on the other side, isn't it? And then she continues. And then she takes a stick and beats you up, throws some water on your face, and keeps shouting, continuing this. So she is continuing her endeavor more and more and more. At one point of time, you wake up. Similarly, all of us in this world, we are all called sleeping souls. Sleeping souls. Sleeping soul means when we keep our eyes wide open, which is not considered wakefulness. Real wakefulness is awakening to Krishna consciousness. That is real wakefulness. How much are we aware of Krishna? How much have we surrendered to Krishna? How much do we appreciate Krishna consciousness? Depending on that, we can understand how much a person is awake in God consciousness. So that is a question of spiritual awakening. So when you're hearing in the beginning, you're going to sleep. Because the subject matter is not so interesting. It's boring. Just like when a person is jaundiced, you give him sugar cane juice. Can you have a jaundice here? Put up your hands. Two, three. So you will have a good experience of how the sugar cane juice tastes when you have jaundice. It is so bitter that actually it is not at all bitter. You all know that it is very sweet. So in the Krishna Katha, it's called a Svasayana Katha. It's full of transcendental pleasure. It's very enjoyable. But when you hear it in a diseased condition, you feel it is very bitter. It is not very tasty. Then what is the medicine for jaundice? Anybody knows? Sugar cane juice only. The same as the medicine. Similarly, what is the cure for our sleep? Hearing Krishna Katha, same as the medicine. Continue hearing. Slowly you will start becoming awakened. You can see that. That you're awakening, getting awakened more and more. And you appreciate Krishna consciousness. The more you hear, the more you appreciate. And at one point of time, you'll be completely awakened. And you'll become very enthusiastic and dynamic in Krishna consciousness. So you can gradually become awakened. There is no other way. Just like if a thief comes to your house and is bringing a big knife, he's coming to stab you and steal all the money. Now you have jumped into the boundary wall and he has scrapped by the tail. Similarly, birth after birth, you are all scrapped by the material nature. Death, every time you have to die. But who can save you from this birth, all the disease and death? Have a loud chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. When you chant this, immediately become awakened. Who am I? What am I doing in this world? My Lord, I was such a big rascal. You begin to understand that I have been doing so many mistakes, I have been living such a simple life. And I am actually a soul. I am not upon this body. This body is a covering. And God is so kind, He has arranged for all my facilities. Then your eyes start opening. That is the meaning of awakening. That means you realize you are not a body. And your nature of the soul is to love Krishna and serve Him. So you do the simple activities very easily by such awakening. So if somebody is deaf, then he can read the recorded sound. There is also hearing. Because seeing the recorded sound also is hearing only. When Srila Prabhupada speaks in a tape, and the same is decoded, and you read it, that is hearing only. The same thing. So he is hearing through eyes. So actual hearing is who? This is not a ear. This is simply a cover. Just like in a company, they make a product and they give a nice packing. Similarly, this is just like a focusing paper that is given to send a message into their ears. Real ears are inside. The soul is a real fear about the truth. Atma. He is hearing the truth. It is something like bringing an insane man back to sanity. It is a work in mental asila. And everyone is crazy. Somebody is saying this, somebody is saying that, I am a prime minister, somebody is saluting. Somebody is saying I am Muhammad Ali, somebody is saying I am Bruce Lee. So they are just doing different activities. Crazy goes on. You go to a mental asila. And then your duty is to, if you are a doctor of those people, very tough job. And if you have to bring them to sanity, take at least one at a time and tell them, please, can you understand? Do you remember you belong to village? And the father's name is this, your mother's name is this. And you are doing this. You are an engineer or you are this, you are that, everything you tell him. And then gradually he begins to understand. Usually he is very crazy. But then gradually you bring him back to sanity. In the same way, in the material world, everyone is completely infatuated. Infatuation means practical blindness. Just like Prasad Sarathy tells a story. A monkey, your bike was passing by in a street. There was a monkey in the top of a tree. He was always jumping up and down. Monkey's nature is to jump. You see? How he gets on hanging in a branch, jumping from one branch to another branch. And when you're jumping in this way, down the tree, there was a bottle filled with rum. Half the bottle was filled with rum. Some drunkard had drunk and he had left the bottle there. So the monkey was curious, let me see what is there inside the bottle. So he put his hand down, took the bottle and he started drinking that. Then he got further wild. Started jumping much more. Too much jumping. And in this when he was jumping, the vaidya was passing by, he saw the monkey. And he felt pity for the monkey. He wanted to give him some medicine. So when he was taking a dog of medicine, he committed a mistake. He took the ginger, instead of a part of medicine, took the ginger and gave it to the monkey. The monkey ate the ginger, he started jumping much more. Too much. Than as we were jumping before. In the same way, Bhagavan said to rise, any condition soul who comes to this world has an answer to jump. What is the jumping compared to? Enjoying mentality. Everyone in this world is having an enjoying mentality. And when somebody tells them, come on, take this engineering degree, they jump more. When they become engineers, they jump much more. Our doctors, or when they have a feather on their cap, they jump much more than ever before. Isn't it? Chaitanya Dimitrov, when they become a big businessman, or a very successful, materially successful person, they jump much, much more. In this way, all the conditioned souls in this world are jumping, so this material world can be compared to a mental asylum. Very sorry to say this, but it's a reality. As a sadhu, I have to tell you the truth. This world is like a mental asylum. Everyone is crazy. Jumping like this monkey, doing this, completely blind, very happy. But they do not know this is the Kala Ashwasota. So true guru is one who brings you back to sanity. Sanctification like tells you fool, you think you are enjoying this world. This world is the Kala. You cannot make a permanent place in this world. You'll be kicked out. You cannot stay. It's like you make a sand castles, and when sand castles are broken and destroyed by their waves, the child begins crying and the parents laugh at him. Foolishly, not knowing that their life also is going to be destroyed in the same way. Isn't it? They are building a house, but how long are they going to live? So this is the meaning of guru. Guru is one who enlightens you about the realities of life and helps you to go beyond this material existence, back to the kingdom of God. So now you all appreciate this point, how to look for a guru. So if guru is teaching you that, then you take shelter of that guru. When you have the guru there, it's very easy to immediately break them aside. They'll tell you, what do you want? Tell me. You want money, you want women, you want this, you want that, I'll give you anything you want. Like that. So if you want such a guru, you can go. So those who are blind, those who are deaf, they can of course see and read. Those who are blind, those who are deaf, even we have devotees like that. Even in ISKCON, we have devotees like that. And they got here, they got see, they have offered the prasadam. By reading prasadam, they have become devotees. Because the prasadam is the potent spiritual food, which is surcharged with devotion to Krishna. So if you find someone who is so unfortunate, who is deaf and dumb, who cannot speak, who cannot see, even prasadam, gradually you will see that you are appreciating. So they will be able to chant Hare Krishna, whatever best they can do. These are all different punishments offered by the material nature according to your past bad activities. I didn't cover any other question. Actually, devotee position only 40 is given. There are many others in between. Still, there is a big gap between Vyasadev and Madhvacharya. It is that Madhvacharya is actually Vayu himself. So Madhvacharya went to the Badrika Ashram, which is currently existing in the Himalayas, and he took instruction directly from Vyasadev. So Vyasadev, who is the later incarnation, he is going to continue to exist throughout. Even Kali Yuga, till the end of Kali Yuga will be existing. Even now Vyasadev is available in Badrika Ashram. There is in Chiranjeevi is available, as you would be knowing, that Hanuman, Ashutama like that. Chiranjeevi Vyasadev also is available. But even today, many people do not have access to go to the exact spot where Vyasadev is sitting. If you go to the Badri Vishal, if you go to Badrinath, so you know it is very difficult to go into the interiors of Himalayas and go and approach the particular zone. But so, even when Madhvacharya went, many of his disciples followed him. There was one disciple who was following him to a very great height. After some time, nobody could follow him. It was such a deep bushes. And only Madhvacharya was the only person who could go and receive the knowledge directly from Vyasadev. Although Vyasadev wrote all these things down 5,000 years ago, still Vyasadev directly gave this instruction to Madhvacharya. And then Madhva gave it down the line. There are many other acharyas whose names are not mentioned here. But we call our Vyasadev line as Brahma, Madhva, Gaudiya, Sampradaya. We are calling the prominent names Brahmaji, who is the first one to receive the knowledge from Krishna. Then we talk about the Madhva, who is a very prominent person. And then Gaudiya, who was our Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, appeared in this line. So, all these Vyasadev lines, there are many, many, the prominent acharyas names are given in the Vyasadev line. But do not worry. Probably somebody is missing in between, or maybe I will be cheated. It will never happen because the sages and saints were considered to be the most truthful and honest people. Till now, in the field of science, you have blindly put faith in so many scientists who don't have any integrity in what they speak. They are getting grants. Like I saw a joke which was saying, when one scientist was studying the influence of wearing a tie on a man's physiology. You know, I got a grant for that, doing research in America. So they may be getting grants for such cheap things. Grant for anything. Grant for doing anything. Research grant for doing anything. So they just name a field and they get money and they are going on in the name of research like that. But spiritualists are very faithful and honest people. Because they don't lay down their lives, why should they cheat the world? They have given their body, they have given their mind, they have given their words for an ultimate cause. Where are they going to cheat? And you can see the people of integrity like Jesus, or Muhammad, or Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or Shukadeva Goswami. These are all people who have given their lives to the world. And they have nothing to give and take from the world. As Lord Chaitanya says, Nadanam, Nadanam, Nasundarin. They are not looking for anything of the world. So because they are not having any expectation from the world, they also will not cheat the people of the world. There's only a person who looks for the material benefit, he will have to cheat the world, isn't it? Because he wants a material profit, he has to cheat others in order to gain that. But a true saint, who doesn't expect anything of the world, who is giving himself for the benefit of people, he will never cheat. I think I'll stop here if anybody has a question. Maybe one question.
Serving Krishna, we get to this.
As I told you before, You yourself do not know what is your inner desire. You do not know. But you can try your best to maintain a sincere desire. That's all you can do. So Lord knows what is best for you. So that is one way to see, look at it, that you have had a very sincere desire in the core of your heart, which you may not even see, which is now clouded by so many other desires. But gradually when this cloud is removed, you'll be able to see the pure desire that is there in your heart. That's one way to look at it. Another way is, even if you don't have a pure desire, you have a very great devotee, very strongly desires that you should become a devotee. Then you'll be pulled by the magnetic attraction of the devotee. Just like Srila Prabhupada had a very strong will, desire, to fulfill the order of the spiritual master. So he went to a place like New York, which is the headquarters of Maya. So much Maya there. And living in the midst of such a place, Prabhupada desired very strongly that how nice it will be if all these people become devotees of Krishna. So the desire of the living entity is very much respected by the Lord. Lord is, although the master of the living being, still he respects the desire of the living being. If you desire very strongly, then Lord can fulfill that desire. So because of his desire, the people around him became attracted to him and started becoming devotees. So Prabhupada gave them the spiritual credits to become attracted. When Lord Chaitanya went to the forest of Jharkhand, he very strongly desired, just see how these animals are suffering in the forest, in the form of tiger, in the form of rabbit and lion and different animals. So he felt a great compassion upon them and he desired strongly that how nice it will be if all of these animals become devotees of Krishna. And immediately they all started surrounding Vajrayana Mahaprabhu, and tigers and deers were embracing each other and they were singing Hare Krishna mantra. So it depends on one's intense desire. If you have a desire intensely, then you can influence others by your desire, sincere desire. Actually, many people do not know, even in the modern times, our behavior has become so crass that we do not know the finer principles of life. Like, for example, if I wish someone that, we actually call it as ashirvad, isn't it? Like, if you bow down to your grandfather or grandmother, you can sincerely wish that you should succeed, or you should advance, you should progress in your life. That wish is coming out from the body in the form of vibrations. So those vibrations have a great influence upon you and your mentality. These things cannot be seen with eyes, but it is a very, very, existing on a very subtle platform. In the same way, your desire, which is very strong and pronounced, and said the pure devotee's desire can spread for miles. So sometimes desire, it can influence the people for several miles. So when you desire, somebody must have desired very strongly that you should become devotee of Krishna. So despite your cloud of material desires, which are clouding the innermost desire to achieve pure devotional service, still penetrating all those cloud of desires, the devotees can pull out the desire that you have in your heart for becoming a devotee of Krishna. So when that is touched, then you want to become a devotee. But once you have come to Krishna consciousness movement, then we should always take it very seriously. First thing, we should take it and practice it very nicely. Because it's a very, very jam. The more you read the books and hear lectures, you'll understand that your body of body is a very rare jam. This is all good for very few. Many people do not even know. Many people are now wandering here and there in search of truth. We are also fascinated that we are connected to such a source of knowledge, such a reservoir of knowledge. So by simply being connected, by hearing and chanting, we generate a tremendous progress. I think we should consider here. If anybody has any questions, you can ask me personally. Do you have a question? Okay, last. Mike, with you. Mike is going there. Last question.
Hare Krishna. Sir, I want to know, what is that stage that we will be able to see the God, or we will be perceive the God, and could that be our could that be our illusion? Because we have read that Ram Krishna Paramahansa has seen the God and his.